Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
Hey, on today's catch-up, the one and only Dennis Cometti and his tribute for his former coach, the late Polly Farmer.
When did you leave the kids behind in your greatest parenting fails?
Ugh. Matt teases his latest hits from your hood.
And one Laurie Claire's, that'd be my wife, with the ultimate comfort food.
Bread and butter pudding.
Yum!
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Guys, you know that I don't like getting early morning 5 a.m. texts from my dad because he's 81 and he's over in Noosa. But he sent me one today and he said, I just woke up son to read the news about Polly Farmer. It's a sad day. Good West Perth man, my old man. And Dennis Cometti, another good West Perth man. And we've lost one of the greats in Graham Polly Farmer.
Yeah, very sad morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was one of those things that seemed would go on forever, the legend. It will. The legend will go on, but to think that Polly's no longer with us is something that I find quite hard because he's been so much of my life.
Yeah.
You know, from when I was a boy, watching him play football, coached by him later. So, he was a most interesting man, one of a kind, and a pioneer in many things in the game of football, certainly.
Absolutely.
And what wonderful news it is for someone like me. I, as you guys know, with football, I don't have the background, but everything that I'm hearing about Polly Farmer has been so positive. Everyone's really talking about him as if he's quite a remarkable man.
No doubt about that. He was an innovator too in football terms and a very gentle man. I met him when I was 18. He was 32. He came back from Geelong after a glittering career over there.
Mm.
And he was wonderful with East Perth as well in the WAFL before he went. I think 3 Sandover medals, 7 times best and fairest. East Perth won about 3 premierships.
Wow.
Went to Geelong. And the strange thing, he did his knee about game 6, first season.
Yep.
And there was talk he'd never play again. When he left Western Australia, he had the jump of Nick Natanui.
Right.
He could really leap like very few people could. But with that knee, there was talk that he may not play again, and the jump was diminished.
Mm.
And still, he came back the following season. He was runner-up in the Brownlow. Geelong won the premiership, and he was best and fairest.
Wow.
And then he came back to West Perth, and that's where I met him as coach of West Perth. But so many things about him, as I say, a gentleman. And what I remember, because we deal in voices, don't we, to a certain extent when you're in this business, he had this lilting voice. He would have made a very good doctor giving you bad news.
Oh, right.
Oh.
You know, reassuring.
I'll never forget that. I didn't expect it when I first met him. You know, I hadn't heard him speak too much.
Yeah.
It was different days then. There wasn't a lot of television coverage of those games in Victoria.
Yeah.
So when I met him, I was very nervous. I'd played the previous season, and he was taking over as coach, and he put me at ease just with the voice as much as anything else. And his demeanour, he was almost shy. Shy. He was a gentleman, which conflicts with what he did on the field.
Yeah.
But a remarkable player. And I think probably in many ways a bridge between football of the 50s, 60s and 70s to today.
Mm.
He was so much about the hand passing. Watching those highlights last night, what a great player he still would be. If he was playing today, he would be remarkable. So athletic. He was big. He was strong. Did you see a highlight? I'd never seen it before last night, and I've seen a lot of football. I was watching a highlight where he got the ball in the, it would have been the 67 grand final. I deduced that. It was just a quick flash against Richmond. He got the ball. He started to run towards half forward and he hand passed it 30 metres.
Yeah.
It would have been 30 at least.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, 30 or 40.
And hit a bloke in stride. 30 or 40. That's right. I was underestimating because 40 sounds impossible.
Yeah.
And it went like a rocket. It went like a kick.
Yeah,
and that's the part of the game that he introduced. That was something that hadn't been done until that time, and suddenly handball became an attacking manoeuvre. The last thing you did prior to that was handball when you were in trouble.
Like
they were bearing down on you and you were really in trouble. You just got
rid of it.
Yeah.
Not Polly. And it was such a weapon. I think when I saw those highlights last night, I thought, how good would he be today?
Yeah, even the modern stats probably wouldn't pick up a 40-metre handball.
No, they wouldn't.
It would just be one possession.
Well, these days they might.
Yeah, maybe.
They get into everything.
Break
but,
it down.
It's just a terrific, terrific memory.
Oh, we can really see the admiration in your face and hear it in your voice. You can tell he was a great man.
Well, one of a kind. And such humble beginnings too. I mean, it's just a great story.
It is.
I hope it's a movie.
Yeah, it should be a great film, wouldn't it?
They couldn't find a double to hand pass at 40 metres.
That'd be a bit tricky, wouldn't it?
They can recreate that. They've got CGI.
And of course, so many of our younger listeners would only know the Graham Farmer Freeway and not really know.
That's right.
When you look at the career highlights and the awards, it was a glittering football career.
Yeah, and that freeway in its way, I mean... It's well thought out because it joins East Perth and West Perth.
Yes, yeah,
two
absolutely.
Clubs he played for. It was Synergy.
The Perth Derby.
Yeah, so everybody in the football world is a little bit sadder today because, like anything else, if it's music or whatever it happens to be, when you lose a legend, everyone feels it, and probably the appreciation this morning is as great as the time he won the Brownlow medal or one of those Sandover medals, because it puts everything in its place again and you look back and it's just a wonderful overall picture of a man who was really gentle.
Yeah, and I think the family are overwhelmed and have said yes to the state funeral, Dan. I mean, this is someone who's changed the game. We talk about players that come along in their particular realm, like Lee Matthews or the way Dean Cox played the ruck. Polly changed the game.
So a very sad day, really, for Kim, Brett and Dean. But by the same token, they'd be uplifted by what they're finding now. All of Australia understands that this is something significant.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, Dan, we saw you on the news last night. We really appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
Yeah, Dennis Cometti, you're talking about the late and great Polly Farmer, Graham Polly Farmer. Rest in peace.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Yes, this morning we are asking you, what is the dumbest thing you've done as a parent? After this wonderful story, Dad has been given a job. It's not his normal job, but he's been told, you need to drop the kids off at daycare this morning.
Okay,
got it. So goes and does that, and the afternoon flies by, and Mum goes, right, it's time to go and pick up the kids from daycare, gets to the daycare. Where are my kids? They were never dropped off here. What are you talking about? Dad dropped them off.
Yeah.
No. Panic ensues.
Absolutely.
Where are the children?
Yep.
He's dropped them off at the wrong place.
Oh, Dad.
They went to daycare.
Wrong daycare.
Just the wrong one.
I love that those people just started looking after other people's kids too. They were like, they're not even enrolled here, but all right.
Oh, we'll take them. We'll get more fees.
Yeah. Throw a few McCain super fries on the floor and you sort yourselves out.
But it's easy to do these things. I've got friends who are parents say, I've just done the dumbest things. And they think that, you know, some people have a hard time forgiving themselves about it.
Yes.
Don't they? For easy mistakes you can make as a parent.
Yeah, dumb things I've done as a parent. Can you see how long my list is?
Oh, it is long.
I've almost gone over the other side. Lots of dumb things. One of those was teaching a young man, unmentioned here, some certain words, saying that's a secret between he and I.
Oh, yes.
Because it came up in conversation. Someone had said, I think at daycare. And then I went, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's so stupid. of course, they got repeated in front of Mum when they
went home. Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know how dumb this is, but, you know, I'm quite arrogant with me facts that I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm noticing when I'm talking to my stepdaughter, Steppy D, that I'm very assured about, you know, that the moon rotates or revolves or whatever it might be. And my big worry is that she's then going to school and they're going, he's talking absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
You think he's like Carl Krasinski?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, love to hear from you, though, today.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
As a parent, you like to think that you're perfect and you're often far from it. I know I was.
Of course.
Without doubt.
As Kimber said, we're all human and we make mistakes. And this dad thought he was doing the right thing, help Mum out.
Yep.
No, I'll drop the kids off at daycare, love. You have a cup of tea and relax.
What a guy.
Did that. Mum went to pick them up in the afternoon. They're not there.
Wrong daycare.
They've gone to the wrong daycare.
Sorry about that, Dan.
It's funny they accepted them, isn't it?
Yeah. Val's given us a call from Morley. Val, what's the dumbest thing you've done as a parent?
Good morning, guys. It wasn't me. It was my mum, actually. We were living in the country at the time. My mum went to the shops, as you do. She got home. She'd been about an hour and a half. She realised she'd left my sister in the pram out the front of the store.
Oh, dear.
Yes, and to this very day, it's a running joke in our family.
Of course it is.
And it's not like you'd just get on the mobile and text her and go, you've left your kid here, come back.
It was exactly.
Well, if you were in the country, Val, it was probably a half-hour drive, was it?
Well, I wasn't born at the time, but My apparently my mother was absolutely in a panic.
Of course,
and
she was.
And
she,
yes,
except that first hour and a half, which was just delightful without the sister there,
so
wasn't
peaceful.
It?
Yeah, I think it was Wongan Hills or Wildcatcher where we were living there.
Oh, good on you, Val.
Well, it is a good one to rub in every Christmas.
that we do. Yeah. My mum wants to put on her tombstone. She reckons.
left your daughter behind.
Thanks, Val.
Let's go to Wellard. Daryl, what's the dumb thing you've done as a parent?
Good morning, guys. I've done lots of dumb things. yeah, as you know. Back in 95, we were renovating a house in Gosnell, and I had a three-year-old boy at the time, and we went off to Bunnings to do our bits and pieces shopping, put him in the playground,
right.
Went all around Bunnings, you know how long that takes, got in the car, went home, and my wife says, "Where's Andrew?"
Oh, no. Oh,
he's in that tub of balls.
They closed.
Oh, no.
You're joking.
So I jumped in my car. I screamed back to Mabington. And I determined in my head I was going to drive through the window.
Yes.
And I'm banging on the door. And they're just going, "We're closed, sir." They just give me the stop sign. They wouldn't let me in. And I'm banging and banging and banging. And eventually they open up. And I said, "My son." And the whole time he was in the playground.
Oh, still there.
He's brilliant.
Still there, unbeknown to anything around him.
Wow. Oh. Hey, Daryl, I still think people leave their kids in IKEA in that, you know, that little playground with the balls. They just leave them there.
Oh, yeah. I take my nieces there in the hope someone will grab them for a Not true.
It wouldn't be accidental there, would it? It would be a deliberate act.
Thanks, Daryl.
Make it a cheaper date out with the nieces, Kimber.
Yeah.
Jane's in Rockingham. Jane, what's the dumbest thing you've done as a parent?
Okay, so headed down for a weekend to Busselton, Abbey Beach, with some friends in their holiday house.
Mm.
Decided to take a day trip to Dunsborough. The markets were on. Then thought we'd have a nice ale at the pub there. There was about, I think, 5 kids in total. So when it's time to go home, all walked slowly, merrily off. We went to the cars. In the car on the way home, my husband's offered the kids chocolates. Thought, oh, that's odd. Michaela, she loves her chocolate. She didn't say yes. Anyway, I continued driving on. We're about 10 minutes away from the pub, and my phone rings. So I've looked at the phone. Michaela, what are you doing calling me from the back? And as I turn around, she wasn't there. She was still at the pub.
Perfect.
Oh, goodness me. And what, she just put a few bets on and waited for you?
Yeah, yeah. She walked around like the fairy she is and just thought, oh, where's all my family gone?
Or scooters. Hey, Jane, did you feel
halfway back, so
guilty you give a double chocolate when you picked her up?
Yeah, exactly right.
Well done, Mum.
Good on you, Jane.
You've done the same.
It's all right, parents. You're all doing okay.
Yeah, you're having a crack.
And I have to say, the theme that's running through all these calls is that they're obviously great parents because the kids seem very calm.
They do seem calm.
Very calm.
Yeah, raise them in a calm way. And let's be honest, it's a good excuse. They're little. You're going to miss them.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We're almost at Friday, which means almost at Matt's Hits from Your Hood.
Yes, Coburn.
That's exciting.
Yeah, now I have promised, you know, an international act, haven't I?
You have.
You have. Just a couple of times you've touched on that. And
are we going to get clues?
Well, let me play you this music.
Okay. Hang on.
What?
Sorry?
Did you get Smash Mouth? Have you got Smash Mouth in Coburn Hits from Your Hood?
Well, I'm contractually not at liberty to say the name of the act.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Smash Mouth.
Yeah, cool.
I love that song.
Maybe it's not.
Might be, might not be.
You might have to tune in. Tune in at 6 a.m, but stay tuned until just after 8.
We'll drag it out.
That Perth's song greatest hits, Mix 94.5.
Tommy, our producer's laughing at you now. That song is Rockstar. Could it be a tease that it's another Rockstar?
Well, actually,
give him much away over there.
I mean, he's not giving anything. Okay, well, what is the crux of the song? I mean, you just did Hits From Your Hood, Queen's Park last week, and that was a real romantic throwback to your childhood because you had grandparents who lived there.
Yeah.
It was a real narrative. What's the sort of the real crux of Coburn?
Well, I mean, for a start, I have never seen traffic or car parks attacked on our Facebook page, like the poor old Gateway Shopping Centre.
Oh, it's the worst car park.
They've used it as an avenue to...
Apparently, to you cannot get out of it.
It's really hard.
Once you're in...
All right.
You can't get out.
Do you remember that Uber trip, the Uber
that's
driver
right.
coming to try pick us up and couldn't find us anywhere?
Right.
And we were stuck at the outside the shopping centre.
She's just looping the loop, wasn't she?
And of course, there's also the conjecture about Coburn Central, which is a tiny-ish little suburb, or the city of Coburn, as I mentioned before.
Yep.
I've sort of, you know, I'm not sticking to the sort of United Nations boundaries.
Okay.
Okay. It's okay. A bit of a blend.
It's the area.
We look forward to it.
But yeah, that poor car park, I know we were there, but I need to go and have another look.
Don't bother.
No.
It's a nightmare.
You'll never see me again.
No, well, if you go, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Take a bite.
That's good. Matt sits from your hood, Coburn, tomorrow.
You betcha.
We've got no closer to knowing what's coming tomorrow now. So, well done.
Smash Mouth.
Hey?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
I did show you this photo of the bread and butter pudding that Laurie Clare's cooked last night.
Beautiful.
Bit of winter comfort food. And you're right, Matt, it does look like London's being bombed and Churchill's making a speech and Bradman's batting for Australia in the Ashes.
That's it.
Stop it. You had me at Laurie Clare's.
Yeah, Frank's out.
And don't the ladies love it?
Yeah.
It was delicious, but comfort food at this time of year, especially we get to August in Perth, it's the coldest time of the year.
Look, we had a similar meal last night. T, my partner, did a very simple mashed potato, there was a bit of tuna, some veggies,
yum.
Then put it in the oven with some cheese on top.
Right.
And out it came, and I had this warm and fuzzy feeling as I looked at it. And you do, I thought, you know, particularly in this day of MasterChef and whatnot, there's a lot of pressure to sort of really turn it up.
Yep.
But that was so good. It was so tasty. We couldn't wipe the smiles off our
face. And it had everything you needed in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't look after myself very well. So all food I eat is comfort food.
Right.
It's just not stuff I'm supposed to be eating because I don't cook.
Mm.
So it's kind of like if it's chocolate, it's still that's comfort food.
Sure.
And I can eat that as a meal. It's terrible. But thankfully, James cooks for me. Mm. And when James cooks, the food is sensational.
So when he's cooking, it's more than just a cheese toasty. It's something
else. He cooks amazing meals. So he's a fantastic cook.
What is it then? Is the comfort food that James will cook for you? It must have been last month or so.
Oh, yeah. He makes me these absolutely beautiful, like kind of hearty soup things with lentils and pasta and different veggies and like shepherd's pie type things, but vegan shepherd's pies. Mm. They're amazing.
Well, of course, comfort food doesn't have to be, you know, it's sort of become an abbreviation for unhealthy, but that doesn't have to be the case at all.
Oh,
it's
just warming, filling food that's actually simple.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing, nutritious and actually satisfying. Because you go to restaurants sometimes, you think, well, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And it could taste amazing. But if you have to stop and get something on the way home.
That's right. That's not comfort, particularly when you see the bill. I'm very uncomfortable.
That's the thing, yeah. You told me recently, you said, oh, that thing of paying for brunch. You know, so many times that look good, but you're not going home comfortable if it's cost you $60 to go and have brunch together.
No.
Yeah, it's very comforting when it's at home and it is a bit cheaper.
I'm not very comforted that you didn't bring in any of
that
bread and butter
pudding.
Sorry.
No more photos. We want the actual physical thing.
I'm trying to think if I wrapped it in plastic last night or I'll just eat it for lunch today.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Don't forget this month you can enjoy up to 50% off with extra savings with our friends at ABC Blinds.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you, ABC.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah!
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
With washing.
She's a really good newsreader, but here's what Jim King missed.
Together that spells wet washing.
Okay, take your minds back to high school. I don't know if you guys remember having a chat with the careers advisor.
Oh, yeah, sure do.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you remember what they advised you to do?
I can imagine what they thought of you, Casey.
Well, yeah, they told me that I could never be an actor and to get a real job.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crushing your dreams.
Yeah, and I said, well, I'm going to be an actor. And they said, you're as bad as Garth Tander. He says he's going to be a race car driver.
Right.
And it turned out he is.
The fantasizing kids.
Yeah.
And he lived his dream.
He lived his dream.
And they were right about you.
Yes, exactly.
How cruel.
Do you remember what they offered you?
Because I was one of the sports jocks. So they said, oh, you can get a job wearing a tracksuit for the rest of your life. You should get into phys ed.
Oh.
And I went, oh, I don't know about
you. Would have been a good phys ed teacher.
Hey, come on, you boys.
Yeah, stop. Drop it and give me 20.
If you want to stay in a tracksuit all day, become an actor.
And there you go.
Yeah.
Or a rapper.
But you can I remember the banks coming in to talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
And those were the days where they'd tell you that, you know, if you got a job in a bank, you had a job for life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start as a teller and work your way up.
That old fantasy.
And I remember them saying, and if you can bring some unconscionable behaviour and make us a lot of money, you're set.
You'll be CEO in no time.
You can deceive.
Yeah, but these days, my goodness me, the jobs that kids get, you know, like you could be an influencer.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Or you could be a professional Fortnite you know, online gamer.
Yeah. Actually, you're right.
Yeah. And this guy here, Kyle Gibson, he is a competitive eater.
Sorry?
I'd like to take him on.
Right. Well, you wouldn't like to take
challenge accepted.
Not on this one, my dear, because this is a burger, 12,000 calorie burger.
Oh, Kimber, have a crack.
It's called the Big Ben.
To be honest, a 12,000 calorie burger could just be your standard burger down the shops. I wouldn't even know.
It's got 10 patties.
Ooh, dooley.
All right. And it's, as I say, 12,000 calories, which is like 5 or 6 times what you should eat in a day.
Okay.
So this pub is offering this challenge. And Kyle Gibson, our competitive eater, has done the challenge and said it was the best thing he'd ever tasted.
Oh,
how long did it take him to eat that? Do you know?
Yes, it did. It took him 21 minutes and 56 seconds.
Is that all?
Yeah, which is about how long this break is going to take if I don't get to the
Sorry.
Point.
You get the point.
But the owner of the pub that has the burger has said that, look, this isn't. We're not saying this is healthy. We're giving you a health warning. In fact, I will give you 500 pounds towards your headstone if you die.
Holy dooly. That's a different kind of sponsorship, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And still did the challenge.
He still did it and he nailed it. That's it.
He's a man with a whopper.
Handle a whopper, the burger, the bed, and Hungry Jack's.
Hey, you even know the words.
Well, sort of. A lot of
Just a couple of notes, Matthew. That was really good. Just a bit long.
Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
It's one of Perth's funniest nights out, and it helps sick kids. Mix 94.5's Laugh Out Loud with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber on The Big Breakfast.
Mostly sunny at 17 today. Right now we're talking about 5 degrees. We've got some cold mornings coming up, but this will warm your heart. Laugh Out Loud is not far away.
Yeah, we want to see you at the Astor.
We are doing a comedy night. We've done this for a few years now, and it's a fantastic money spinner for Telethon. It's all for a good cause, and we all have a great time.
Yeah, it's a great comedy gig.
Yeah, fantastic lineup with experienced comedians, and now we're looking for an amateur comedian who's done no stage time to get up on stage on the night just for a little bit and just throw out a few jokes.
Throw out a few jokes.
In a very supportive crowd.
Absolutely rare opportunity, isn't it, really?
Yeah, too right. And we're not expecting anyone polished. We just want a couple of jokes. Just to, you know, putting it out to the common man or woman.
And we know that people do find themselves funny because Matt and I did comedy. Matt's still doing comedy. We've all been heckled. So people who heckle generally think they're funnier than the comedian themselves, right? Yes. They're shouting out a line because they think they're hilarious. So all of you hecklers, here's your big chance.
Yeah.
Get up on stage and prove yourselves.
And we'll heckle you back, especially with the fire in Kimber's voice right there.
And we will need we'll need an audition, but it's very easy. You just need to record either video or on like a voice memo, you know, 30 seconds, your best joke, whatever it might be, and send it in to us.
There's a lot of YouTubers who think they know how to tell a joke. Have a listen to this dude.
The typical structure of a joke consists of a setup and punchline. The setup builds up the audience's expectations. However, this is done.
The most common superstition in the world today is a belief in horoscopes.
It has to engage the audience's emotions or attitudes. Usually this expectation leads to some sort of tension, anxiety, or nervous energy, and this is followed by a relief through the punchline.
And there's a name for people that believe in horoscopes. They're called single women.
They might steal that one.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Carr's voice you heard there, and he is a great one for the, you know, the real machinations of joke writing. Mm, he loves that. In fact, I've seen him go on stage with a clipboard.
Yeah.
And sort of tick them as they work.
As opposed to the Ross Noble style, where we go off on a right angle for about 40 minutes.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there isn't, it's whatever technique works for you. We would love to have you there. So please send us a bit of audio or a video to breakfast@mix.com.au and you could be joining on stage for a really fun night out.
As you say, a great story to remember. $500.
Yeah.
Probably be a few drinks and nibbles thrown in as well backstage.
And who knows, you might get another gig.
Yeah, we'll look after you.
Don't know who's watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, tickets on sale. Did we mention this? Ticket Tech?
No.
$35.58. It's pretty cool.
It's a good price for a good night of comedy.
A whole night of entertainment. info@mix.com.au. Come along. We want to see you there.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
No?
Good morning, everyone.
Now,
That's what we're going to be saying in just a moment here, because that's the person who's just walked into the studio. And I'll tell you what, Science Week is on.
It is.
Hey, how exciting is this? And I was just mentioning the fact that, you know, when you think about Science Week, and we think about, you know, kids love Science Week, but so do we, big kids like us.
Yeah.
We got very excited when our special guest has already joined us in the studio. Dr. Paula Majney is here. And she's not only a forensic biologist, but a forensic entomologist, which is using the bugs to sort out crime, which is pretty cool. Hey, Paula, we'll do it again. Welcome. Good to see you.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, Paula, in the CSI shows, they get on the test tubes and they solve a crime in 26 minutes. In reality, how long could you be working on a case for before you make some forensic headway?
Oh, God, I would love to be in a movie sometimes because especially when I work on my specific expertise that is insects, sometimes I have to wait for the full cycle of life of the bugs to be completed. And bugs can be a bit fussy sometimes, and they maybe don't like the temperature, maybe they don't like the food. So it can take up 2 months to get from the little egg to the adult of the insect. In order for me to understand what kind of species it is. And it's so important, the species, because it's connected to the time that they need to finish the cycle of life and the reason why this species is at the scene and not another species at the scene. So I really had to wait that time. And sometimes people don't understand that, and it can be pretty frustrating.
Well, let's wind back a little bit. What is a forensic entomologist, and how does it relate to crime as we understand it?
So a forensic entomologist is a scientist who uses insects and other arthropods, so sometimes millipedes, sometimes spiders, and sometimes crustaceans, if you work in an aquatic environment, basically as a clue, as an evidence to pursue a crime. So basically I use insects for crime scene investigation.
What about the typical Aussie, the Australian bugs we're talking about? So I'm thinking about what I've seen at home in the past 48 hours. So cockroaches, Australian flies. I even saw a fly the other day, even though it's our winter, and the dreaded pantry moth. Would you ever use a moth?
Well, I had to say, yes, in the majority of the cases, blowflies are the most important insects when we work on a dead body.
Right.
Because they are the primary decompositors. Mm. Said that, they eat the body, the flesh of the body.
Right.
When the body is gone, well, sometimes they are just clothes leftovers.
Mm.
And guess where had the moths coming up? So everything is going to be consumed. Everything has to come back to nature. So we have what we call the successional waves of insects that come at the different stages of the decomposition. And when the body's gone, well, there is all the leftovers, the clothing, the hair, the bones. So we have sort of cockroaches, other type of beetles that are interested in chewing the little bones, the ligaments that are very hard, too hard for the little maggots. And we have moths for the clothes. And, well, once happened that somebody that died had some biscuits in his pocket. And so we had cockroaches just there for the biscuits.
Go with the cookies.
It is National Science Week. There are a lot of kids and also a lot of adults who are studying in science and in forensics. And what do you think makes someone a good forensic scientist, to take it from entomology or something to that next level?
Yeah, it's about critical thinking and it's about thinking out of the box. So if you are this kind of person that finds solutions and is able to make connections between things and between people, then you probably are shaped for forensic entomology or forensic science in general.
It's a place for the curious, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Very nice. Hey, Doctor, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
And good of the Doctor to join us this morning. You can find out more about Science Week. Just go to scienceweek.net.au.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Yeah. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is out in cinemas today. Mm-hmm. It's Quentin Tarantino's new film.
Yeah.
And incredible lineup: Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, Leonardo DiCaprio, Al Pacino.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, it's a star-studded cast.
Is that Kurt Russell I just saw?
Kurt Russell.
Wow. Okay.
I went along and saw it last night. Here is the trailer.
I'm Rick Dalton. It's my pleasure, Mr. Schwartz.
That's your son?
No, that's my stunt double, Cliff Booth.
Last night, we watched a Rick Dalton double feature. All the shooting. Cut! Embarrass yourself like that in front of all those goddamn people.
Hey, you're Rick Dalton. Don't you forget it.
one of those you should see it for yourself films for me.
Okay.
I didn't want to say that. I love Tarantino and I went, and it does have a Tarantino stamp on it.
Right.
It's been described, I saw another review this morning that said it's less of a plot-driven story and more of an opulent mood piece.
Okay.
And this person found it exhilarating and satisfying. Right. I did not.
No, and you're a cultural icon.
And well, look, you know, but I've been wrong about, I say wrong, it's just personal taste, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're
allowed to not like it.
So go and see it for yourself. I just think Tarantino's got a touch of the Tim Burton's now. He's made some brilliant films and then this one got a bit self-indulgent.
Yeah. So he's been, you know, in recent years people have been saying Quentin's getting a bit too violent. You know, The Hateful Eight was very bloodthirsty. So there's none of that in this?
I can't reveal
anything.
And his next film's called The Not-So-Hateful Seven.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I can't reveal anything. But look, it's a romantic throwback to the 60s. It's visually cool to see the buildings and the cars, but not much happens.
No, you stick to your guns. If you want to close your heart off to joy, then you go for it.
So, you guys go see it. Tell me what you think, because it'll be a big film.
Margot Robbie in lots of skirts.
Yes, and she looks fantastic, and she's a great actor, and it's all, you know, it's. I think there's lots of beautiful parts to it. It's just not what I was expecting, and come on, Tarantino, you could have cut it back by about an hour, mate.
It's quite long.
Yeah. Oh, it's nearly like 3 hours long.
Oh, it was really. Expectations were very high for this one, Tarantino and that lineup. Mm.
Okay. Yeah, and as I said, I will absolutely be totally open to everyone saying it's fantastic, and it might just be me.
Okay.
Now, Channel 10 have released its first peek at their new singing show, The Masked Singer.
I know that voice. Who are you? Some performer in there.
Oh my God, I yes!
Is there a question that you could possibly ask Unicorn that would kind of help us out here, Hughesy?
Yes. Who are you?
It is basically 12 celebrities coming out in these really elaborate disguises and singing on stage, and then these other celebrities on the panel are guessing who it is. So on the panel, you've got Lindsay Lohan, Danny Minogue, Jackie O, Dave Hughes and Osher Ginsberg, and they're all guessing who is the singer behind the mask.
Gee, and Lindsay Lohan must know a lot about Australian celebrities.
Well, here's the thing. The celebrities are coming from Australia and around the world, and they're not necessarily just singers. Okay. So it's pretty broad. They will be singing, but it doesn't mean that they're known as a singer.
So you might get actors, but they're all famous people.
Yes.
In some way, shape or form.
And no release date yet.
Okay.
Watch this space.
It sounds like a bit of a rip-off of The Voice blind rounds, doesn't it? The blind auditions.
Yeah, a little bit.
Turn the seat around or put a mask on.
Yeah. Mm. Matt, we know you love your Paul Kelly.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, Paul. But how about Paul Kelly live in concert? Who's
gonna make the awesome.
With some of Australia and New Zealand's finest musical exports.
Not New Zealand.
Let it go down well.
Courtney Barnett, Kate Miller-Heidke and Marlon Williams doing the Making Gravy Tour.
Ah.
It could be really beautiful. It looks like it's going to be a great gig. It's Saturday the 7th of December in Perth at Stadium Park at Optus Stadium, which you guys tell me is the little area next door to the stadium there.
Sounds like it is. Yeah, don't it really like, know.
Well, there's a few parks around there.
Well, it's a good way to bring in Christmas, you know, right in the early part of December. They're generally General tickets are on sale Friday the 23rd of August at noon through frontiertouring.com, and that is your Daily Juice.
Paul Kelly back in Perth.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.